Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. We're considering the parable of the wheat and the tares, and we have been looking at the fact that the Savior paints for us a picture of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. We've pointed out how that very few ever give any thought to the kingdom of God. Indeed, I'd say an awful large majority of people don't even realize there is a kingdom of God in this world. We noticed how, just as the parable tells us, that good seed was sown in the field by the Lord. That's what the picture represents. So, God is active in this world. God is active in this world. Like the farmer tending to his farm. And I think it's right to say that a farmer is a pretty busy person. I know, and you know, that right next door to us, there is the main center of the farm that is beside us here. It's the milking parlor. And they start there about 7:30 in the morning. I can hear the tractor, it's like an alarm clock, coming snorting down the road and up the lane just beside us. And that tractor doesn't leave the farm until nearly 11 o'clock at night. That's a pretty long day. And during the whole time, there's a lot of activity going on. Busy person, a farmer, a busy person. Well, the Lord Jesus deliberately picked the picture of the farmer to indicate that he is busy in this world. Now, this morning, we picked as our opening praise that psalm that is well known, the 100th Psalm. It's a lovely psalm. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. And the psalm goes on to exhort people to bless the Lord, praise the Lord, and then it gives us the reason in the last verse of the psalm. Because the Lord our God is good. And today I want to talk about the activities of the Lord in this world being good. Because as we look at the wonderful parable that we're considering, the wheat and the tares, the work that the Savior describes himself as being engaged in is sowing good seed. Good seed. And what God is about in this world is good. Is good. He would have us to be good. He would have us to engage in good works. He would, through us, inject, as it were, into the world a good influence, a good witness. The Christian is likened by the Savior unto light. And how precious is light? How precious is the dawning of the day when the sun rises and light begins to shine upon the world? The world's a dark and dismal place until the sun rises. And then it does fill men with pleasant thoughts and a pleasant sensation. There's nothing delights us more than to feel the sun shining upon us. It has a wonderful influence in this world, the sun. And don't think too much about it. But that sun represents the smile of God, the blessing of God, the influence of God, chiefly through his people, that is exerted in the world. The last time we were with you, I said that we hadn't the time to show to you many of the verses in God's Word that indicate the good that God is engaged in. And that I'm going to do today. So get your fingers ready to skip through the Bible and look at verses that indicate that what God is doing is good. Men denounce and deny God. I was looking at a quotation from a man who is highly praised as a philosopher, a man called Paine, and his writings are a pain to read. But he's considered the most wonderful philosopher, and yet he had the most horrible things to say about God and about God's word. And in that, he's a liar. He's a liar. What he says about God is a total misrepresentation of God, because God is good, as we sang this morning in the Psalm 100. And he doeth good. He doeth good. Now, sadly, many of his people oftentimes do what's wrong. Peter did what was wrong. David did what was wrong. Abraham did what was wrong. And we could list a whole lot of good men who did wrong at times. And of course, the world seizes upon the wrongdoing of good men to slander God. They ignore the good that good men do. And they just emphasize the wrongs that good men have been guilty of. And they deliberately ignore the good. Well, that's the way the world will ever be. The world will ever determine to see nothing but evil concerning God. But the evidence of the goodness of God abound. Turn back to one of the earliest references that indicates to us just how good the Lord is. We're looking at Isaiah. Isaiah, and here in chapter 61 of Isaiah, we have a prophecy. And it's a prophecy that refers to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, he himself takes up this very prophecy and introduces himself when he first preaches. But look at what it says. And the first verse, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now that specifically refers to the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And you can rightly also say that it refers to the ongoing ministry of the Lord Jesus that takes place through his servants as the gospel is preached, and through his people generally, as they live out the grace that he gives them. Now look at the things the Lord Jesus was sent to do. Look at the things he was anointed to do. And it's all good and beneficial unto men. Primarily it starts, "He sent me to preach good tidings." The gospel's the tidings of good. God's good to sinful man. I might perhaps point out to you that in the verse 2, he was also to preach the day of vengeance of our God. But that's good for men to be warned that there is a day of vengeance. It's good. It's good. It's a good thing to learn that sin will bring forth judgment. These verses classify the Lord Jesus, the mercy and blessing that he bestows upon them through the gospel. God is engaged in doing good. Turn over then to the New Testament. Well, just to Matthew. And it's the chapter 9 and the verse 35. Now, I'm sure you'll not read anything new as I direct you through these verses. But perhaps you never really recognized how often this simple truth is set forth. Verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Have you ever thought of the extent to which the Savior labored and the degree to which he wrought good wherever he labored? I still find myself stirred, surprised, caused to wonder and to marvel at the labors of the Lord Jesus. When I come on a verse like this, notice the terms that are used. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. All! Sometimes we get the impression that he just sort of moved around the Sea of Galilee a bit. Oh no, I think in those 3 years, it wasn't a place in Israel but heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. And in all these villages, what did he do? Well, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. And he healed every sickness and every disease. We have to qualify that by saying there were some who never came to him. Some who didn't believe in him. And therefore didn't look to him for healing. So that not everyone was healed, but everyone that came to him was healed. Oh, I want you to grasp that today. God is sowing good seed, and the Savior demonstrates just the good influence that is to be found wherever he labors. Look at chapter 15 of Matthew, the verse 30. We're really just saying something very similar, but I want you to notice that God repeats these things. Verse 30 of chapter 15. And what do we read there? And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Here are multitudes benefiting from the Savior. Oh, how I wish that this would build up in your heart and in your mind so that you might understand just what good the Savior wrought in this world. Turn over to Luke's Gospel, the chapter 7. Luke's Gospel and the chapter 7. We're looking at verse 21 of that chapter. Luke chapter 27. See if you can get it there, Pat. Luke chapter 7 and the verse 21. What do we read? In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Just think of this, please. Every day of the Savior's ministry, these are the things the Lord did. And let me tell you, he's still doing that. He's still doing that out there in the world at this very moment, in many places probably, on the face of the earth. God is meeting with sinners. He's saving them. He's answering prayer. He's lifting burdens. He's reaching forth his healing hand upon bodies. The Lord's still doing that. I want you to visualize in your mind the sower sowing good seed. So God, through this world, even today, as he did back in the days of his earthly ministry, the Lord is doing good amongst men, undeserving men, men who don't deserve good, but he's doing good. Two chapters on in Luke, chapter 9, toward the end of the chapter, verse 56, and here the Savior declares just what it is he has come to do. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. That man Pain that I talked about, he alleged that every evil thing in this world, from murder downward or upward, whatever way you want to express it, has its origins in the Bible. That's where it comes from. God's the origin of evil. That's the very opposite of the truth. That man couldn't be a bigger liar. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. But to save them. That's the Savior's own definition of the labors that he is engaged in. Saving. Saving. I stand before you, and I say to you, God saved my soul, but he also saved my life. My life! Because of sin. Although I was only 20, I was on the way down! I've often thought that it's very likely I wouldn't have reached 30 years of age, the way I was living. So when God saved my soul, he saved my life. He saved my life. This is what the Lord Jesus came to do, and it's pictured for us in the sowing of the good seed. Look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts, further over there in your Bible, and we're at the chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Here's the sermon that's preached that great day of blessing and power, the day of Pentecost. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Just think on that. He's saying to those, many of whom were guilty of the direct crucifixion of the Lord, the direct murder of the Savior. They had, as it were, upon their hands his blood. And yet he's saying to them, you know that Jesus of Nazareth was approved of God among you, shown to be God's blessed Son by miracles and signs and wonders. He went about doing good. Chapter 4 and the verse 27. It follows the preaching of Peter, and the people are praying. The saints of God are praying. And here's what they say in their prayer. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Notice the title they give to the Lord Jesus. He's called here, Thy Holy Child, Thy Holy Child. No one could ever deserve the title that is here given to the Savior. Men are born in sin. Men are born in sin. We're not holy children. Rather, we're children of wrath, as Paul says in Ephesians 2. But the Lord Jesus was the Holy Child, the Holy Child. He went about doing good. He went about doing good. And then, we're turning over just to one more reference that will bring to an end our study, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and it's the verse 38. This time Peter is preaching once again. This gives us the tenor of the sermons that were preached by the apostles. There was always an exalting of the Lord Jesus. Verse 38 says, How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Isn't that marvelous? He went about doing good. He went about delivering people from the curse of the devil because God was with him. Where God was, good will be done. Sowing good seed in the field. Oh yes, God's active in this world, boys and girls. And God's doing good in this world. God is doing good. Never you allow anybody to accuse God of wrongdoing. I've often heard it said, indeed I was reading it just the other day, and this time it came from the lips of a former archbishop here in Northern Ireland, and he was talking about the bombing in Enniskillen, and he quoted somebody, and he quoted them as if to agree with them. Where was God that day of the bombing? And there is implied in that question, it was God's fault. It was God's fault. Listen, boys and girls, it is the fault of wicked men that wicked things happen in this world. The fault of wicked men. The process of the outworkings of evil amongst men. That's what brings evil things like the bombing in Enniskillen. Little do we know how often in mercy and in grace God intervenes and frustrates the ways of wicked men. But in his wisdom he allows men sometimes to have their way because we cannot avoid reaping what we sow. If we sow in wickedness, then we'll reap the harvest of wickedness. Judgment, judgment. No, it's the mercy of God that we see manifested in this world in the many good things that are done. All of the good things that are done are traced back to God. I think I can say this without going into any details, that every charitable enterprise that one can uncover in this world has its origins in God. I think of the hospital. How many people benefit from the labors and the work of the hospital? We complain about it, yes, although oftentimes there's no justification for the complaint. No justification. But I was just reading how that way back in 325 A.D., at a council of Christians, it was decided that in every major town they should organize a hospital. So that hospital there in Enniskillen, you can trace its roots back to a decision made by Christians. And there are many, many other charitable institutions that can be traced back to the mercy of God. The looking after children and orphans, it had its origins in the mercy of God. The releasing of slaves, it had its origins in the mercy of God. And if you go to the Old Testament and you read the law of God that he instituted for Israel, you will find there God wrote into that law how that the widow was to be looked after, how the orphan was to be looked after, how the poor were to be looked after, how the stranger was to be looked after. Good. It has its origins, boys and girls, in the mercy of God. Never forget that. That's what God is about today, and that's what you should be engaged in. Every one of you should devote your life, whatever calling you feel inclined to. Let this be the overriding factor of your life. You went about doing good, seeking to imitate the Lord Jesus. And bow together now in prayer, and look to him for his blessing. Dear Lord, bless your word to every heart today. Undertake, Lord, and help us to understand that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Answer prayer for us. Bless the school today. Undertake for it. Guard it. Let thy presence be amongst us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.